Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes, indeed. We're back at it this time at the Minnesota State Fair. Chris and Andy on deck. I've kind of insulated myself because you got a big crowd with you, you guys. You brought some special guests.
Yeah.
Special show today. And not that they all aren't, but a special, special show.
Take your time with your headphones, or Chris. We're going to get started here shortly.
Okay.
Let's go. We've started. Let's go.
Let's go. I got kicked off my chair already.
Uh-oh.
I made a table out of it.
Nice.
Yeah. So are we going to talk about the market?
I think we should, actually. The market's been pretty exciting as we've been heading into the fall here. Summer-wise, we hit the summer low like we've talked about, you know, a couple weeks back. It's been a little slower. Rates dropped a little and I think made things just a little more attractive. Timing's been good for a lot of people, good jobs. So
we tend to get two little lulls. Now, we'll get one over Labor Day weekend and into kind of next week, and then the following week it starts getting up again. People kind of take a break around eating too many cookies.
Literally.
Yeah.
And then the fall parade does a nice job of kind of stirring up the buyers again, getting people looking at new construction. And then if they don't have the, let's say for whatever reason new construction doesn't work, maybe it's price, maybe it's location or whatever it might be, then that also gets people looking at the existing market. It also brings more houses to the marketplace for backup listings. So those that are buying the new houses, that creates new inventory for us, which is a good thing right now with the low inventory.
Yeah, and Parade of Homes obviously gets started here. It's next weekend, isn't it? Already, yeah. So
I brought a couple of my buddies along just to kind of help you out with that.
I know. You brought the big power here. This was good. We're going to get all the answers here today. Why don't you introduce them? Okay, it's John Rask with M&I Homes. He's the VP of Land, and then he's president of Housing First, which is also BATC. That's the Building Association of the Twin Cities.
Right.
And then David Siegel is the executive director. And I know you guys are making a shift.
We're making a name change. We used to be BATC. We're going to be Housing First Minnesota starting in mid-October. We've been kind of co-branded, and it's confusing everyone. So we'll go by Housing First Minnesota. We'll stick with that for now.
It was funny because John and I just met today, and he's like, I'm president of Housing First. I go, uh-oh, we got the wrong guest. But I guess
you may have the wrong guest anyway. But
hey, we're talking about lulls in the market. We were talking a little ahead of time. M.I. Homes is a premier builder in Minnesota. You're in a multiple different developments, but you're saying the market's going really well construction-wise.
Yeah, that's true. We're so M.I. entered the market about 4 years ago. We were Hans Hagen Homes prior to that. M.I. purchased Hans Hagen in 2015. We're selling homes in about 18 neighborhoods throughout the Twin Cities. We're on all four sides of the metro, and activity's been really good in the last 2 months. So we're excited
about the parade. What's the product that we're dealing with?
We're all over in terms of a product mix. We sell townhomes to the first-time buyers starting at about 280. We sell our traditional move-up homes that start in the low fours. And then we're probably most known in this market for our villa homes, which is an age-targeted empty nester product. Main floor master, 1,800 to 2,400 square feet is kind of the sweet spot. Upper threes, low fours with that. And we're a number of neighborhoods throughout the metro with that. It's been quite a successful product as people look to downsize.
It's kind of interesting. M.I. Homes, you got some villas and some detached townhomes down in the Prairie Lake Savage Shakopee area there.
Correct.
And I actually ended up, after they went to M.I. Homes, I ended up selling three people's houses to move into your product.
Yeah.
And everyone loved it. And kind of in that 450 to 500 range.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're seeing, and we were talking earlier about our point in Savage, our neighborhood we built 20 years ago. Well, you fast forward 20 years, and those buyers are now selling their big two-story homes, looking to downsize and get into something that, you know, really fits their lifestyle. And with that product, we do offer association maintenance, so it's lawn care, snow removal. So it really is a lifestyle product where people aren't tied to maintaining their home anymore.
Well, I know my team has actually had the experience of helping you guys bring you some buyers up in the Dayton market. We had Jim Lee up there.
Yeah.
That, what a great guy. Asset to have for sure.
Yeah.
He knows the business, been around forever, and it's amazing he's only 30 years old.
Yeah.
But
we appreciate your business.
Well,
we were looking at some permit numbers over the summer globally, and we started the year pretty slow. We were behind in production from a year ago, just across all the housing spectrum. We finally, this month, caught up. We're about 2%, two percentage points over where we were this time last year.
But it took
us the entire summer to get there. Well, it was a tough spring. You guys probably saw that, John. You probably saw that. Weather wasn't cooperating very well. I think there was some challenges with interest rates, and then as interest rates kind of stabilized and dropped a little bit, people got excited about buying. And all of a sudden, we're seeing a lot of traction in the last couple of months.
Do you think it's changed a little bit, though, as well with the buyers that come in and they don't have the ability to wait 6 to 8 months to build a new house? So in my experiences, I'm seeing a lot of builders ramping up their inventory for the big spring preview, which is kind of the big show of the two. Obviously, we have the Fall Parade Home starting next weekend, but
right.
I think we'd attest a little bit to that as well.
Right. We had a couple of builders that had a tremendous amount of inventory in the spring parade, sold a ton of it in the spring parade, and then it takes them a while to catch up. And I think that's part of the challenge as well. I agree with that.
Yeah,
we've also seen some excitement in the upper bracket homes that's happening this fall. We represent a development out in Reverence, and getting a lot of people interested again. So which is great. The kind of that always happens in the luxury market. I'm telling you, they get real busy during the summer. They kind of just wait, and then all of a sudden the fall, it's like let's get going. We're never going to have this thing.
Well, it's interesting too, guys, because I mean a lot of the high end buyers don't require financing.
It's a cash buy.
Yeah, so the interest rates don't even have any influence on that buy. It's good economies or in a good situation. And that creates that kind of inventory, creative products, and great lots. I mean, that's the other thing is that a lot of the custom builders that are out there right now, the lot is a lot of times what inspires the whole project.
Correct. Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. We saw some stats from the local realtors, Minneapolis Area Association and State Realtors. You know, in that $600,000 to $800,000 space, we got about 6 months worth of inventory. That's about right. That's where we should be. That's considered normal in a market. In that lower priced inventory, in that $300,000, $325,000, and even a little bit below, we have about 1.4 months worth of inventory. That's about 5 weeks. That's nothing, and that's not sustainable. And that's why you do see some of these multiple offers on these lower priced homes.
Right.
Whereas I think the middle and the higher market's a little more stable right now. That lower price market's struggling, and that affordability challenge is there for us.
I do think you're now starting to see some real production in lot inventory as well. We track vacant developed lots throughout the metro area in terms of when we look to bring on new neighborhoods and expand subdivisions. And for the first time in a few years, we're starting to see an increase of finished lots on the ground, which is helping builders of all sizes and at all price points bring new product to the market.
Well, I think a lot of the developers were a little hesitant. I mean, we last summer at the same time, guys, remember, we kind of had this pause in the marketplace, and those projects that were on the fence, some of them kicked the can to the spring to get started because they didn't really know if they wanted to bring on a multi-million dollar next phase if they didn't have the buyers, meaning the builders, to purchase the product. And so I saw a little bit of a hesitation. Right now, it seems like everybody's got the pedal down and they're still rolling. They expect a great year next year again.
Right. And I think looking at rates, and I don't know what you guys see, but it seems like we're going to be pretty stable, maybe even a slight dip possibly. I don't know what you're seeing. That's kind of what we're hearing.
That's the talk. So hopefully that's the case. And I'm bullish. I think it's going to be a great year going into next year as well. Hey, we got a lot of stuff to come. I know we're going to take some questions from the crowd. And we're also going to have an appearance by the youngest, most famous 7-year-old realtor boy in Minnesota.
I've made videos with that kid. He's a great little actor.
All right. I know, that held him back a little, but now he's back doing other things.
I bruised his career.
I tell you what, let's do this. Let's take a quick break and be right back. If you have any kind of a real estate question, you can call it in or text it in. 651-989-9226. We'll be back with more from the Farrah News Talk 830 WCCO. And we are back here at the Minnesota State Fair in the midst of our real estate show. Chris and Andy with some special guests. If you just tuned in, Boy, we have some extra special guests here. What's going on? Tell
us. We brought
along
our good friend, Realtor Boy.
Hi, Andy. Hi, Andy.
How's how you been since our last video, buddy?
Good.
What do you got in the works for your next project?
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Whatever his mom says.
Yeah. Whatever Mama Noel says, right? Mm-hmm. Did you bring along your mom today to take her to the fair?
Yeah.
Yeah, and who else did you bring along with you?
My two sisters, my dad, and my au pair, Isabel.
Ooh, that's quite a crowd.
Yep.
Are you guys going to make a video today at the fair?
I don't know.
I'm sure your followers want to see something exciting or some back-to-school stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Andy, how old do you have to be a realtor?
That's a great question. I think you only have to be 18 years old, so just a couple more years to make this legal, Realtor Boy.
Wow.
How old are you right now?
7 and a half.
Wow. Yeah. Chris is actually 50 and a half.
Well, I was just going to say about Realtor Boy. We learned about Realtor Boy. Obviously, we know Noelle Nielsen. She's a cohort of ours, a realtor, and they started doing lifestyle videos of, you know, real estate, and he kind of became the star of it, but he's got a suit and everything, and it's just kind of a fun, different way in which to be able to market properties.
Use your kids. If you have them, use them.
Use them.
Not just for folding laundry anymore, huh? Well, thanks
exactly.
for stopping by.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andy. Thanks, Andy.
All right, Realtor Boy, we're going to find out some more trends in the building industry here. So what are you guys seeing?
Well, first, we just want to say congratulations to Realtor Boy. it tells you that there's a career opportunity in real estate. There's a great career opportunity in construction, too, by the way. We're short on people. If you're interested in building houses or doing that kind of work, we need you. So I'll just put a pitch out for something called Project Build Minnesota. It's a website. You can go take a look and learn about construction industry careers. But on trends, John knows better than I do, so I'm gonna turn it over to John for that.
Yeah, you know, we've got 18 selling centers throughout the Twin Cities, so we have a constant flow of buyers through our models, and listening to what they're looking for in terms of new homes, designs, colors, decorating ideas. But we recently took a bigger step back and said, you know, are we missing something here in the market? So we conducted a focus group where we brought in people that are active in the real estate market, people who are out there looking for housing of all sorts, and just really dig in deeper to what they're looking for. And, you know, I think what we found is as an industry, we're getting a lot of things right. And as a builder, we're getting a lot of things right. The main floor master for the empty nester, you know, privacy, convenience, comfort, things that we hear, you know, not a lot of new things. You know, technology is certainly still big. But mainly that open floor plan that's been popular in the last 5 or 10 years continues.
Well, I think it's like they're planning ahead for the future. I see a lot of people that aren't on wheels now, but if they ever were, they want to have wider doorways. They want to have accessibility to the tubs and the showers. And, of course, you know, I mean, and they don't want to move again.
And we do see in the statistics, we see people living in their houses substantially longer than they used to. You know, probably 10, 15 years ago, you bought a house, you lived in it for 5 or 10 years, you moved, right? I think that's changing. I think people are staying in their houses longer, and I think probably that means they're looking for something a little different when they make that first purchase or when they move in. That's my assumption. I don't know if you guys are seeing that too, but that's certainly
you know
what we're seeing.
We're seeing a little bit of a hesitation in the marketplace where you have that family that they've raised the kids, and they're now two people living in a big house, but they don't like what they have to move into, right? So the availability is limited, or the pricing is crazy. Their house is worth $400. They have to spend $450 to get what they want. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you know what? Let's just stay put. Maybe the market will calm down. And I think there's a little false expectation happening right now. People are waiting for the market to drop. And statistically, we look at what's out there, and 40% of the houses are owned free and clear. The amount of people that have put really decent down payments on and have really low payments are really high. It'd be almost catastrophic if something like that would happen. I don't even know if it's possible. I mean,
And
so
even,
I said in 2007, too.
Even,
but I mean,
you know, even if there were an economic downturn, what caused part of the problem last time in 08 was housing. But today we have a shortage of available inventory.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And in this market in particular, I think we looked at the top 75 markets across the country. We have the lowest available inventory in the country in the Twin Cities market. So that's going to change that dynamic in terms of even with an economic downturn. I don't know that housing gets impacted by that.
Right.
Yeah, and typically we don't feel it until both coasts have felt it, and we're not seeing that either. So I think we're gonna.
We don't see it either. So I think the good news for housing, and if those are thinking about making a move, it's probably going to be relatively stable here for the next 12, 24, 36 months, I would say.
Well, and you don't see a lot of slowdown right now. Still, we're still seeing apartments being built like crazy. So a lot of people are saying, hey, instead of diving into a market I don't understand or it doesn't fit my budget, they're renting. And so that's an interesting position. It's something new for us. We haven't seen that happening, you know, over the years. And there's always been rentals, but to the scale that people are now doing it and to the luxury market that they're doing it in actually kind of baffles me a little bit.
Me too. We've done some research that says people still want to own a home. I know there's a lot of discussion coming out of the recession. Well, is it fun? Does everyone want to live in an apartment, live downtown? And
yeah,
I think people still want to own a home. That's what our research shows.
Amen.
I do too. I know we got to go to break, but Georgia Eckhart's going to be out in the crowd trying to get some people and some questions.
All right, we'll do that. Thanks very much, guys. Hang on. We have another half hour of the show to go, the Real Estate Show on CCO. And welcome back to this portion of the Real Estate Show here on News Talk 830-WCCO. If you have that kind of a question related to real estate, you can call it in or text it in. Same number applies, 651-989-9226. Guys, we do have a caller on the line.
All
if
right.
you want to grab that, I think, let's see if she's still there. Joanna, you still there? Hello, Joanne. No, must have taken a hike.
No, Joanne.
She walked next door to the cookie jar here.
Maybe.
Martha's.
Sweet Martha's.
I don't blame her.
Yeah. All right, well, guys, take it away.
All right, well, I know Georgia's got some questions out there. Andy, you got to give her your mic.
Yeah.
So she'll go get them. We got some questions here at the fair. All right, here we go.
Well, Georgia, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? What do you do?
Hey, yes, I'm Georgia Eckhart. I live in Brooklyn Park. I'm a wife and a mom of two awesome daughters that left me. They're out there somewhere. So, so I'm here entertaining and enjoying the fair with these guys. And I work with Andy Prasky.
Yeah. Do you guys have any questions? George will be the one to go to with a question. She's got some little giveaways and goodies, too. If you ask a question on air live, we know it's a little stressful to do that, but we appreciate the questions. So.
Yep. I've got somebody out here right now that has a question, actually.
That's about as long as
you can get. Yeah, maybe help a little bit.
That's all it's going.
At what selling price should you consider hiring a stager? I know it's expensive, it's effective, but if you're going to be selling for around $400,000, and should you move out to get your optimum price?
That's a lot of great questions.
Yeah, okay.
Really good. Thank you.
First of all, I mean, staging means a lot of different things, and if it's vacant, you know, and you got to bring all new furniture in, that does get expensive. But most stagers use what you already have and kind of accentuate it. But it's even bigger to get stuff out. And if you have the ability to get out of the house and leave, it's way better. Because at any time it can be shown, the beds are always made. There's no pets or anything around. So it's much better to be
away. Go live at the cabin for a couple months until you get that offer and...
Yeah, exactly. You know, but sometimes if you do it right, it's just usually a crazy weekend of showings from morning till night.
Yep.
And then by Sunday night, you have it sold.
Say, guys, we do have Joanne in St. Paul, I believe. Joanne, thanks for coming back. Well, what can we do for you?
Yes, I have an older house that I would like to sell this fall. And I'm going to sell as is because it does need some work. I'm curious whether it's better to go to a realtor or to sell one of those other rebuy-agri houses.
Okay, great question. I don't know if everyone heard it, but she's got a house that needs some updating. She doesn't want to update it, and she asked, is it better to go through a realtor or go through someone like We Buy Ugly Houses? There is companies now, quite a few of them, that are willing to purchase your house. I don't know. I think, obviously, I'm a realtor, but have the realtor come over first and then tell you and get a couple different opinions.
Yeah.
Because you might find out it's worth more. There's a lot of... flippers, quote-unquote flippers out there, that will pay more for it now, you know, and maybe pay more than those other people because they're trying to find inventory in which to be able to turn.
So investors are investors. They're in it for themselves. Real estate agents are hired by the individual to represent the person. So when you're being represented, obviously they have your best interest in mind, and they can also think about this. You can hire that real estate agent. Maybe you pay them 3% to help you go through all of the guaranteed offers and all of the whatevers, you still can be represented as a seller and then have that investor come in and look at the property, and you can pay them out of your proceeds. I actually think that's a new strategy that's going to start being employed quite a bit, because there's just too much confusion. The ads on the radio make it sound like they're easy. And it's not that anybody's looking to, I don't think, take advantage of anybody, but it's the perception that they are real estate agents or that they're in the same category. A real estate agent, you hire them to represent your best interest. Investors are for themselves.
Yeah.
And though there's some great companies, don't get me wrong, but they're for themselves.
And regardless, if you're selling it as is, clean it. Clean it, clean it, clean it. You'll get more money. It's just, if you have, junk cleaned up, it looks a lot better.
For sure.
So, all right. Was there no more calls? More questions out there?
I want to talk about one of my favorite topics, the cost of permits.
Hold on. We got a question first.
We have a question first.
When they're willing to come up, we got to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Hey, Georgia.
I'm thinking about affordable being in the 300. How about in bringing that down another 100,000 and building smaller, nicer, maybe detached townhomes?
Perfect.
Let's
just
go,
so you
MI
guys
Homes.
Know,
we need a $200,000 product.
That was the perfect question.
I hear that every weekend. Every time we're sitting in the model homes, affordability to most Minnesota families is 250 to 300.
Right. And when we talk about it, we sort of tend to think about it in that 275 to 325 range.
Yep.
And I think if we could build even a little lower than that, we'd like to. We gotta struggle with affordability. It's a nationwide problem. It's not unique to Minnesota, but we got a particular problem here. It's very difficult to build at that lower price point. People always say to John and me, why don't you guys, you just build the big stuff because you make more money on that, and that's the only reason you want to build it. It's really not true. The market is there for that lower price product. We know it is. Most people can afford it. Just with regulations and fees and sort of government impact on housing, most people don't realize it or understand it. It's about a third of the price of the house.
Yeah. Yep.
And so it makes it very, very difficult to build that affordable product. There's a couple of legislative commissions and a legislative committee that were formed this past year just to look at that, because it's a really legitimate concern and challenge. John, you want to add to that?
Yeah, and we're a national builder, so we operate in 16 markets throughout the country, and we know we can build more affordable homes in places like Indianapolis, Columbus, Texas markets, Florida markets.
Yep.
We could hit the price point that the audience member just commented on in other markets. We do it all over the country, but we can't do it here in Minnesota given some of the regulatory challenges that we face. A big part of that, too, is just the land cost. In the Twin Cities, we have a restriction on land supply through the MUSA line and other regulatory efforts that take place. And it really makes it a challenge to buy land at a price to deliver a home that people can afford.
So, Andy, it's even a lot of people talk about the not-so-big house and getting smaller square footage. But even when you do that, you get down a normal split entry with 1,100 square feet. Can you do something at 800 square feet?
No. I was just going to jump in on. That's a great point. The cities need to get involved in reality. They need to understand that people don't want to have a 4,000 square foot house. If they want to build an 800 square foot Rambler, let them.
Right,
right now, there's what they call covenances.
Right.
And builder architectural committees, and they won't approve houses that are under the minimums. So for most communities, you have to build a 1,400 square foot minimum Rambler. That puts you into that 325 to 350 range immediately.
Right.
You get into split entry. Some of them will let you go down as small as 980 square feet, but you're still in that 300 to 325 price range. Two stories, usually it's 2,400 square feet for most two stories.
Right, and you do have cities that if you walk in and propose smaller lots and smaller houses, the city will actually tell you can't do that,
right,
which is what you're talking about, Andy. And most people don't understand that. They don't realize that. And you can understand if it's a neighborhood and you're worried about what might be next to you, and there's all those questions about the value of adjacent homes and all those kinds of things. But we got to get back to building kind of that workforce housing. When everybody came back from World War II, and all they wanted to do was buy a house and start a family.
Yeah.
And we built thousands of those in the Twin Cities.
Yep.
We got to get back to a little bit
of that. Well, Chris and I have talked about this too, or have a product that has the ability to have a rental income. So you buy 350, but let's say that it's a duplex, or you have something where there's a rental income potential there for the owner.
Yeah, you saw Minneapolis have that debate in the last year where they're starting to allow triplexes, and we're seeing that all over the country where cities and state governments are taking on that initiative to allow that accessory dwelling unit to be part of somebody's property.
Well, and they do. I mean, a lot of these cities, though, too. I mean, there's silly things, like, in my opinion, they are telling the homeowners what front elevation they have to have on the house and what specific materials, and that's not even at the developer level. That's at the city council level.
Correct.
And it adds $7,000, $10,000, $15,000 to the front of that house because that's what they want to see built in their city. So that's where I struggle with that, because I'm not saying that just because it's small doesn't have to mean that it's low class or low income or it just is small. It's being smart and efficient and effective.
Yeah, but Andy, on those smaller houses, that when you do that, then people typically need to be more creative with their space. And then they start putting in things that cost them a lot more. You know, so you might not get that monster kitchen, but now you got the coolest cabinets in the world, and they're going to cost you the same or more. Sometimes the square footage, it's what you put in that square footage that gets you.
Yeah, we see that in the empty nester product, especially when we're building an 1,900 square foot home. They still want high quality finishes.
Right.
They'll accept that smaller space, but they want it to be something of quality.
Yep, totally.
For sure. I think it's a bucket list thing too, though. You get that. This is our last house.
This is the last one.
Yeah. I laugh. I see people in their 30s saying that to me. This is our last house.
This is our forever house.
Right.
I'm 30.
I go, talk to me in 10 years. We'll see how.
I always do that at the close. We're never doing this again. I said, hey, we'll talk in about 3 years.
Yeah.
But the other thing, I want, when we come back from break, I want to talk about how is the parade for builders. I mean, is it an important thing? Obviously, a lot of them are in it. And I remember not too long ago, the book was about that thick, and now it's gotten a lot thicker.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that.
Rumor has it starts next weekend.
All right, very good. We'll do that. We'll talk more about that when we come back. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Real Estate Show live from the Minnesota State Fair. Here again, out on our veranda, Chris and Andy back at it.
Yes, me and Mr. Prasky, who's talking to the crowd here. He's good.
I love our listeners.
David Siegel, Executive Director of, we're just going to go with Housing First now.
That's great. That'd be fine.
We're doing it. And then John Rask, he's out with M&I Homes, but he's also the President of Housing First. And I want to ask you two about the Parade of Homes. I know we have a fall parade and we have a spring parade.
Right.
First, what percentage of buyers that actually purchase go through the Parade of Homes?
Yeah, we see about 90% of our buyers have been through a Parade of Homes. And it may not be that they walk into the parade, you know, this fall and purchase a home, but they've been through the parade in subsequent years. So oftentimes a buyer will be to three or four Parade of Homes before they actually purchase a home.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, we actually have builders tell us that they've got buyers that have been watching them for two, three, four years of parades, mm-hmm. and finally they're able to pull the trigger and buy that house.
Yeah.
They've been thinking about buying a house and building for a long time, and they're finally able to do it.
And they're out getting ideas
from
everyone else, and then kind of seeing the quality and how people react, and then they make their decision on who they want to go with.
At the peak of the event, back before the Great Recession, we had almost 1,200 entries in the parade. It was a pretty thick book.
Yeah, it was.
And then after the recession, it dropped pretty substantially. You mentioned that, Chris. It was probably in the 250 to 270, I believe. And then now back up around 385 to 400 to 425. And that's a pretty stable place, I think, for the parade.
What's lowest to highest prices this year?
Oh, I think, I don't remember it exactly, and I apologize, but right around that 280 to 290 at the low end.
Okay.
And then there's a couple of $2-3-4 million houses in there that we do four or five of the houses. We charge a $5 admission, and that's a charitable cause. It goes to our foundation. We build and remodel homes for veterans and other homeless folks, transitional housing.
Oh, cool.
So those are a couple of the higher end ones are in that $5 ticketed admission price. You'll see that if you go to the parade site, or if you pick up the guidebooks are out right now. They're at Holiday Station Store. You can pick those up if you want to take a look, and you'll see about, we call them dream homes, and you'll see that there. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we were actually in a dream home last year. And a lot of people, I mean, a couple instances, it was rare that people didn't, I don't want to pay. You know,
right, or what's the $5 really go for?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? It's a nonprofit, charitable cause. It's our Housing First Foundation. And right. So encourage everybody to do that if you're interested in seeing a little bit larger, a little bit more glamorous home.
Yeah.
Do we see more traffic in the fall or in the spring?
Yeah, spring is still the primary buying season as it is for existing real estate. So the spring parade tends to draw a little bigger crowd, but fall is still a solid event for us. And between the two parades, it's our best, you know, marketing effort we put into to new home sales each year.
And we always, I encourage people to go out in the fall because then you can still walk the dirt. You get your, you know, boots on, you get out there, you can see the views, you can see the trees, you can see everything. And a lot of times in the winter when we take the orders in the spring preview, it's actually the middle of winter, and people aren't capable, because of the weather and the 4 feet of snow, getting out on those lots.
Yeah, one of the challenges in the spring parade is just you're not going to see the landscaping and sort of the exterior in its finest form, because you're going to see that better in the fall. Correct. That's absolutely
You know, I'd be interesting, John, if you know this answer, because I've noticed this, that people that build typically build again. And even if it was a horrible experience, I mean, because I've heard these stories, oh my gosh, it was the worst and we didn't get in in time, but I really kind of want to build. Do you see that? People build and build again and build? Yeah.
Well, no one has a horrible experience with MI Homes. Well. I'm not sure if I understand that question, but no, we do see a lot of repeat buyers, and people built with Hans Hagen 30 years ago have come back, and as their life, you know, circumstances change, you know, the older kids move out, they come back to us and build again.
Yeah. And I think what people find is when they actually do build, it does result in a house that is more for them. It fits their lifestyle. It's what they are looking for and needing. Not that you can't get that in the resale market, because you can, but when you build, you have a little more control over making sure that that's the product that you actually wanted when you made that big decision.
So what are some of the suggestions? We only have a few minutes left, but a couple quick suggestions for these cities and councils that are out there. What advice could we give them to help make their cities more attractive, affordable, and to kind of satisfy this affordability issue that we have?
We would love to see kind of cities get more energized and more in the game of discussing affordability. I think we as an industry feel like we're concerned that our generation, then the next generation, then their kids and the grandkids, we want everybody to be able to own a home. It's such a wonderful thing. You know, when you own a home, you get better educational outcomes, you get better health. And so we want cities to get in that game and encourage everybody to think about that home ownership, because it's a critical part of Americana, and it's a critical part of Minnesota.
And it builds better communities. I mean, jokingly, we had a guy in the crowd last week say that nobody ever washes a rental car. And that home ownership or home, you know, owning is a whole different strategy, lifestyle, and thought process behind it that builds a stronger community.
Sure, not to say anything bad about rental. It's got an appropriate place in everybody's, you know, lives. But you do find research actually backs it up. Then when you own that home, you're more engaged in your community, you get better educational outcomes, you got better mental health, better physical health, and wealth creation. There's nothing like it for creating wealth for families. If you are a homeowner, your wealth is far in excess of those that are renters.
Well, I think Andy just said, and I don't know if this stat is real or not, but 40% of homeowners don't owe anything.
Yeah, the National Association of Realtors published that last month. 40% of American households are paid for free and clear.
Yeah, so
that's an amazing stat.
When we came out of the crash, we had distressed inventory. Substantial numbers of sales were distressed inventory. Today, there's virtually none of that in the marketplace. Almost everybody is out from being underwater.
Negative equity, almost gone.
It's almost gone.
And everybody that's been buying, like when we build new, a lot of them are 20% down or more, mm-hmm. or the high-end market's cash. And so you have a very strong, stable market that doesn't have a glass floor to break through. So when people say, I'm waiting for housing prices to soften, I think you might not see that.
Right. I would agree with that. I just don't see that on the horizon. And I think with interest rates where they are and the product being what it is, it's a pretty good time to be out looking. So there's my pitch to go on the parade
Where do we go if we want to find more information about the parade?
Paradeofhomes.org would be the website. You can do all kinds of searching on there for any type of product. See all of John's homes on there and about 380 other ones. And you can pick up the guidebook. There's the parade guidebook and then a remodeler. If you are interested in remodeling, there's a remodeler's book as well. There's about 60 remodeling projects in there and remodelers showcasing their stuff.
And then if we were interested in a career in the building trades, those of us looking for jobs, where do we go?
We're Project Build MN, projectbuildmn.org. It's a nonprofit. Its whole mission is to encourage you to think about construction as a career. And we spend a lot of time sending everybody to college. And for some folks, that is the right thing to do. But for some folks, it's probably they like to work with their hands. Maybe a two-year technical degree would be the right thing for them.
Yeah.
And check out projectbuildmn.org, and I'll show you all the career opportunities in the industry.
It's fantastic.
Well, thank you, Georgia, today for coming on down. Georgia Acker came in and helped us answer some questions, and great crowd today.
Yeah, and you know what? We should find out how to get in touch with you guys individually or collectively. I know you guys have
lowercase Andy, A-N-D-Y, and all capitals Rooney. AndyandRooney.com.
But just run them together. Run the names again.
Yeah, AndyandRooney.com.
You guys going to be doing a show next week, I hope.
I think so.
We'll see if they'll keep us.
Well, I hope they do, because it'll be an awfully quiet hour if they don't. All right. Thank you, guys. Live from the Minnesota State Fair. And we'll see you down at the studio next week, 1 week from today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.